Good morning and welcome to our book pick segment on the roundtable this morning. We do this every Tuesday and we celebrate a slate of books destined to be your winter reads or just to brush up on your knowledge. And to do so, we check out the shelves of an independent bookstore. Well, Matt Tannenbaum of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, joins us this morning with all of the good stuff that he's been ordering and unpacking that may be a perfect treat for someone in your life around this holiday season. Matt, it is a delight, as always. I know you've had a hellish commute in from the hills of Lenox.
I had to listen to the radio the whole time. It was a tougher morning than I thought.
Well, it's a delight to have you here, and thank you, and I'm glad you're here safely. And
I knew you were here. I could hear you the whole way, and just about made it. Thank you.
We'll guide you through. So where should we begin?
The first book I have just came in yesterday. It's just the advance copy, actually. I called the publisher right away and ordered a couple dozen copies because this is the book that people are going to like a lot. It's called A Simpler Way of Life, Old Farmhouses of New York and New England by William Morgan, photography by Trevor Tondreau. Take a look at this, Joe. You haven't seen it yet, I don't think.
You are right. I have
it's
not.
It's published by Norfleet Press. Norfleet Press came on the scene about 10 years ago with a picture book like this called The Berkshires, with essays by Richard Nunley and photographs by Paul Roschlow. This is a new effort, and this John Tucker, the publisher, has been telling me about this book for a couple of years. It is a beauty, and it's not just pretty pictures. It's good history of these old farmhouses and the agrarian way of life they not only represented, but they represented. They were that was their lives. These were not cash farms. These were subsistence farms, and all throughout New York, New England, and they have been restored. And photographs of them are terrific, are beautiful. Every room looks. When I was reading it yesterday, the heat had gone off in the store for a little while. The heat comes on and off, and I'm sitting there, and it was cold looking at some of these old farmhouses with no central heating. But take a look at these pictures.
The photography is gorgeous. There is so much wood, and they're beautifully decorated, and it is it's a stunning volume. And while you may not be aware of all of these communities, certainly many will ring true, and you will recognize
this in this WAMC listening area.
Absolutely, in Vermont and Massachusetts and New Hampshire
and
Connecticut and New York, and it's a stunning, beautiful book of not only pictures of the farms and the houses, but also of their view. And
right.
it's beautiful. And as the title says, A Simpler Way of Life, it certainly indicates that the room and the furnishings are very sparse, and it's quite beautiful. So you can look at the architecture and the beauty of the craftsmanship.
So I hope all the local bookstores get a hold of this book and have it for our customers. I have copies coming in. I'll have this one back at the store this afternoon. This is the only copy we have. So don't rush.
One.
I'm coming in soon.
There'll be a list. You can call people up. They shouldn't go out in the snow anyway. Okay.
The next one, I think you had Paul Harding on the show back in September.
I did, yes.
And I just got around
to
reading, how do you pronounce it, Enon?
Enon.
Enon. The second novel, which didn't get like great reviews. All the reviews I started skimming, because I don't like to read reviews. I'll skim them and get a sense of them. And they all said, well, you know, sophomore slump. He won the Pulitzer with Tinkers, and of course he was going to go down with this one. But I disagree. I think this is beautiful, beautiful language, and I think he captured it.
I think you and I even talked about this. I got a copy of this in May during the book expo in New York City, and I read it and I thought it was an amazing book, and I couldn't wait for it to be released so I could tell everybody how great it was. I was surprised by the reaction as well. It is somewhat related to, there is a current that goes through it that is related to Tinkers. So if you were a fan of that book, mm-hmm. you certainly will, I think, enjoy this one. But if you've never read Tinkers, this is, I think it has more, you see an evolution of a writer, and it's, I thought it was beautiful and wonderfully done. And
I think he captured, you know, there's grief at the center of the book.
Absolutely.
And he says it in the very first sentence. So I'm not going to give anything away. But the critics that I read say that he was cold-hearted, that he was just, that he just, the protagonist just spun off these thoughts.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
But knowing grief, having gone through grief, I followed this guy perfectly down the road.
I thought, and he was on our book show, and you can find the interview online. It's I think he describes it beautifully of his process in writing this book, and of course the pressures of winning a this book was written actually before he even won the Pulitzer, which I think.
Okay.
Is
okay,
right.
Yeah, so
you
the,
know,
the critics are all that's,
yeah.
that's all about the critics then.
Yeah, but it's an interesting. But it's certainly well done, and I have seen it on a couple of best of lists at the end of the year.
Oh, good.
So that's encouraging.
Yeah, yeah. We have
anyway
plenty of copies.
Good stuff.
Plenty of copies. Next one is a new book. Daniel Menaker, local boy, a Berkshire fellow. His memoir called My Mistake. Great name for a memoir. And he goes mistake by mistake through his life. The first one I think he mentions early on is playing in the driveway when at age 2 1/2 a man drives up to the car to the driveway, asks him if his father's home. He says, no, he's working. Are you sure? Yeah, he's traveling. Are you quite sure? Wait a minute, you're my father. My mistake. So he didn't, for some reason, he didn't recognize his own father. Later on, he has one of the other mistakes he mentions is interviewing Emmylou Harris backstage at Carnegie Hall. And she calls him Dave by mistake.
No.
And so he retaliated by calling her Linda, because he knew there was a supposed rivalry between Emmylou and Linda Ronstadt. And they looked at each other and laughed, and then she invited him out to dinner with the rest of the band, and he said, "Oh no, I can't go. I have something else to do." My mistake. You know, he was just too embarrassed to do it. He was just too in love with her. So he tells these wonderful, wonderful, self-deprecating stories, and it's also a memoir of New York writing. And he's a writer and an editor at Random House, editor at Harper, editor at New Yorker magazine. And this is the time when people, not your age, Joe, but my age, are bringing out these memoirs of this golden time of American publishing. So it's Menaker. You know, it started with when did it start? Patti Smith's great book a
yep.
couple of years ago.
Yep.
And there have been a terrific. Recaptures of this time that we've all been involved in, especially those of us in publishing and in bookselling. It's just terrific. And Dan is he's got a very light touch. Read this is one of these charming books. It is a great gift book, boys and girls. It's a you give this to someone.
Make that
in
point, Matt. Make that point. It is called My Mistake, a memoir by Daniel Menaker, and it's now out and very very quite delightful.
Next up is I have Ari
Shavit.
Shavit's book, My Promised Land: The Triumph and Tragedy of Israel, that got.
Or is it? I believe Shavit. It's Shavit.
Shavit.
Shavit. Yes. I just talked to him. The interview will air next week, but it's Ari Shavit.
So you're going to have him on next week?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. So published by Random House, this is the book that's getting a lot of attention. He's a journalist and more kind of left centrist journalist. I found when I got the book in a few days ago that people started lining up for it. People on the left, people on the right. Everybody wants to read it. People on the right, I think, are going to be a little less, cut him a little less slack than people on the left. But he's right down the road, and he is a journalist, and he is a native-born Israeli, and his chapters visiting various places at various times. Some of the easiest reading I've done on this very tough subject of what is Israel, where is Israel.
And I understand why there are certainly, you know, could get varied reaction, but at the core, it really is his story and his reaction to different places with his experience. And of course, you can't take that away from him, and nor should you. And it, I found it to be fascinating reading.
It's somebody once said, somebody said it was more less an accounting of the history, more a reckoning.
Yes.
As in what Jews do at Yom Kippur. They reckon the year. They reckon what they've done, what's happened, what their attitudes have been, what their activities have been. So this is a storyline. I love the chapter on visiting the nuclear facility.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can pronounce the word correctly. That Golda Meir called it a verenya. It's the old Russian word meaning preserves, and it's what the Jews of Eastern Europe used to hide in the pantry, in anticipation of the next pogrom. They would have a preserve to hold them over, and that was the nuclear facility. That's how Golda thought of it. So, you know, good writing like that. Takes you right to the heart of it. How are we
Excellent.
On time?
We're okay.
Good. Let's go right to. Let's go right to Patrick Lee Fermor, An Adventure, a new biography by Artemus Cooper. Patrick Lee Fermor is, you know, things about him. He was this 18-year-old who left England in 1933, December of 1933, and walked across Europe to Constantinople. He didn't get back to England until 1937. He walked out took a ferry from London to Rotterdam with a rucksack, a pencil, a paper, a notebook, and the Oxford Book of English Verse, and walked across Europe, and wrote about it. He said, I thought I'd keep a diary, maybe turn it into a book. 40 years later, he turned it into a book called A Time of Gifts, which took him from Rotterdam to Budapest. The second volume, Between the Woods and Water, took him from Budapest to the Iron Gates, the middle of the Danube, between the border between Romania and Serbia. The third volume, which he never finished, but he had a lot of notes for, has been finished with a lot of help. He died a few years ago, has been finished. It's coming out next March, called The Broken Road. Mm-hmm. But this is a biography of him, this adventurer, who later, after he came back to England, went back to Greece, was airlifted into Greece, and lived disguised as a shepherd on Crete, and took part in the kidnapping of the Nazi commander who commanded the island. They stuffed him in the trunk, Paddy put on his uniform, drove through 23 checkpoints, and got him safely to the British warship that took him to prison. And these adventures and the way he tells stories, he lived most of his life in Greece after the war. And I think that if you ever go to Greece, you know, you get to ancient Greece, like, right away.
Right.
And you bring ancient Greece into the way you live. And that's what he did in his writing. So you have this timeless sense in his writing. And Artemus Cooper knew him as almost like an uncle when she was a little girl. And she got this great job of writing his biography, not to be published till I'm not here anymore, he stipulated. There were a couple of things. And there were a couple of things that people are saying, well, that didn't quite happen that way. And maybe he made up a few things, but it's still just a terrific adventure story.
This is why I love when you come here, because it's such a great story, and I knew nothing about this book, so I appreciate it. That's just great stuff. It's from New York Review of Books?
New York Review of Books, right.
And it's Patrick Lee Fermor by Artemus Cooper. Terrific.
The next one, we're having an event this coming Saturday for Benjamin Barber, a political theorist out of New York and has lived in the Berkshires for all these years. His new book, If Mayors Ruled the World, Dysfunctional Nations, Rising Cities, published by Yale University Press. Ben will be at the bookstore Saturday, November 30th at 4 o'clock. And we're already getting people responding to the invitation, so it's going to be a nice event.
4 p.m. on Saturday.
Right.
And you can find out more information by going to the website, and good stuff. We probably have time for one more. How many do you have?
Let's see. I wanted to talk about Ben's book a little bit.
Go ahead.
So he wrote the book in 1995, Jihad versus McWorld, and described this dichotomy in the world. And while researching that book, he realized that nation states were falling down on this job of figuring out the gap between these two concepts. And cities and mayors. You know, it was LaGuardia, I think, who said, Republicans, there's no Republican or Democrat way to pick up the garbage. You know, you got to do this.
Yeah. Some things just have to be done.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's a little coarse, but that's the base of the book.
Yeah.
So, and Ben will give a much more erudite explanation on Saturday than I'm attempting to give here. And I have time for one more, a book by Florian Illies.
30 seconds. Yep.
1913, The Year Before the Storm. A international bestseller, a German journalist, writes about the social history of Europe the year before the Great War began, and never mentions the Great War. Freud is practicing in Vienna. Hitler and Stalin pass each other in the park. Kafka's writing love letters. Schoenberg misspells Aaron in his opera because he 13 is unlucky, so he makes it a 12-letter title. Very strange book. Good book.
Matt, we're out of time, but I thank you very much. We got them all in. That's good. Check out the event this weekend. You can find out more at bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com. Check out our website, wamc.org/roundtable, for the full list. Matt Tannenbaum at the Bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. You're the best. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.